Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And a good morning to you. Wake Up Call. SB Nation Radio. Tony D. Ron Culver. And again, if you want to hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D. Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's. Yesterday, there was news that Hank Steinbrenner passed away. He's the oldest son of George Steinbrenner and is part of the sibling takeover after their father passed the team on to them before he passed away about 10 years ago. Hank was the voice of the Yankee organization for just two seasons, 2007 and 2008. He was kind of the lead guy. He was one of the lead siblings. But then kind of moved on to Florida, moved on to other projects. He was into racing cars, and he had a travel baseball team that he helped start up. But he was still consulted on the Yankees on a number of high-profile moves that they wanted to make. Hal Steinbrenner right now is the guy that is the kind of the face of the franchise, carrying on the father's legacy. George Steinbrenner, as many of you know, is one of the – he's always kind of personified the crazy, I want to win at all costs owner. He was probably one of the first public ones. You know, we've had owners that have wanted to win, publicly have wanted to win, said so throughout baseball's history, you know, and sports histories. Steinbrenner, who bought the Yankees in the early 70s and, you know, just kind of went through firing managers, wanting to win – you know, had the team successful in the late 70s, had the team in the World Series in 81, and then, you know, spent part, you know, the 80s and a majority of the 90s until 96 as a team that couldn't get back to the World Series. A very long stretch. In Yankee lore, it was a very long stretch. But, you know, Hank is a guy that, again, just in his 2 years of running the organization, smart guy in a number of things. He wasn't just a Steinbrenner baseball guy. He had a lot of different interests. Just, you know, it's one of those things when you take over the family business, sometimes you go, you know what, maybe there's another person in the family that's just better suited for what this kind of job entails. And I think he felt, I think the family felt like, you know, maybe it's just better if Hal runs the organization. But nevertheless, he was only 63 years old, which is relatively young. But coming up next, it is a very special day in baseball history. How is Major League Baseball still honoring Jackie Robinson without any games? We'll talk about that next on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so it's Jackie Robinson Day across Major League Baseball, but because there's no games, the celebration is toned down, obviously. There's no celebration at the ballparks. There's no players wearing Jackie's number 42. But that doesn't mean the celebration of the day and the honoring of the day is gone lost on Major League Baseball. They'll be streaming 12 hours of Jackie Robinson content starting this morning. Everything from highlights of the 1955 World Series to different Jackie Robinson Day celebrations that have occurred in the past. There's going to be the 97 Dodgers-Mets game in which Robinson's number was retired league-wide. That is also going to be shown today. And I'm glad to have seen a lot of different articles that have been written about it, still acknowledging the day, still, even though, again, no baseball and no day of celebration for breaking the color barrier back in 1947, but still Major League Baseball is doing its best to still keep the day, and it's not only its sport, but the culture at large, in honoring what Jackie Robinson did back in 1947. Look, if you're familiar, again, if you're familiar with how Major League Baseball had handled this, this was, I want to say 2004, 2003, I think, is when players started wearing the number. You know, everybody would wear number 42 on that day. That's relatively new. It's, I want to say about maybe, you know, 15, 16 years old. I mean, it's not like it's been going on for 30 years, but I think 2003, 2004 is when players all would wear the number 42. And if you go to any Major League Baseball stadium, you'll see 42 as a retired number across the board. No matter where you go, you'll see it. Even if that 42 is attached to another player, they still acknowledge it as part of Jackie Robinson, even though he didn't play for that team. But it's, you know, it's still an important day, even all these years later. And even if you talk to young people who, you know, you tell them about what Jackie went through and what Jackie's struggles were, it is still eye-opening when you think about it. I mean, I've been, you know, obviously, I remember doing a book report on Jackie Robinson when I was a kid and, you know, in English class. And, you know, you just know how his struggles in coming into Major League Baseball, what he... Imagine the pressure. Like, you know, that's the one thing that always hits me every time we talk about Jackie Robinson on April 15th is you watch baseball today and you see guys who go through these slumps, really good hitters that just go through the normal rigmarole of a slump. And you realize that Jackie had the added pressure of not getting in one of those, right? He was proving himself in front of a crowd that was just looking for anything to sort of, you know, put him back out of the league. And he ended up winning Rookie of the Year, right? He ended up not only winning Rookie of the Year, but he became one of the most exciting baseball players in 1947 to watch. You know, there was a song about him and all that. But again, the internal struggle, because Jackie Robinson, there was always this conversation about Jackie Robinson. Everybody kind of knows about Branch Rickey saying, you know, look, you're going to run into this opposition and you're going to run into a lot of hatred and you're going to, and he said, I need somebody who won't fight back, you know, meaning, you know, I don't want to set the cause back. So I'm looking for somebody that is going to have to absorb that, you know, and also be able to perform to show the people that, you know, the hatred that it has no place. But Jackie Robinson wasn't a silent revolutionary. I mean, he was a guy that was sticking up for, you know, he was vocal about civil rights before he became Jackie Robinson, the baseball player. So he wasn't a person that was, you know, people say he was the right person to do this, but he was also the right person to do this because he was a voice for civil rights before he became Jackie Robinson. Right. So again, they're going to be doing a lot of honoring of him. There's going to be, again, stuff on TV. There's going to be online stuff to honor Jackie Robinson because COVID-19 is taking baseball away, but it's not going to take the importance of this day away. And, you know, it's always a good, I went to a lot of Rockies games back in Colorado, covered a lot of games, and I would, some of the times the home games would land on this date and you would go and you would hear, you know, the talks and you'd see the video montages. And it always hits you because you would, even today where we sort of look back and it feels like so long ago, there's still relevance to what Jackie Robinson was doing. When you talk about gender equality, when you talk about others that are trying to get noticed, trying to get equal pay, et cetera, there's still elements of what Jackie Robinson was doing in 1947, even to this day. You know, you talk about the women's soccer team trying to get like equal money and whatnot. All of that can be traced back to Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier and trying to open up the eyes of people who saw a sport and wanting it to be just an all white sport. So this is a very, very special day for Major League Baseball. And I'm glad they're figuring out whatever way they can to sort of honor the day, despite the fact that there won't be the celebrations that we normally get around the country. And that's a good thing. And that's still a very, very good thing. All right. So again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Robert on Twitter, I saw the movie 42, Jackie Robinson in Baltimore, Maryland, a few years back, enjoyed it. That is that's a good movie. That's a good movie. That's another one that, you know, for young people who don't know the story, it's a good part. It's a good story. It's a good movie to break them into how troubling, not, you know, that what the stuff that he heard and the stuff that he went through and how he was able to play not only baseball but high quality baseball in that. Think about what you have to do. Like you have to be able to put that all aside and be able to still do what your job, right? And
we had to be the greatest player on the planet.
Yeah, you really
in order
did.
To justify, I mean, which seems so silly now. But I mean, at that time, it's like to justify that an African American player can play baseball.
And you had to make sure. Yeah, you had to make sure that you weren't just going to be an average player.
No,
you know, a player that could have just been replaced. Right, your statistics had to be stand out. It had to showcase that you were special. That you were
had to be revolutionary.
Had to be, yeah. Because if you were just batting, you know, 265 with a couple of home runs and a couple of RBIs, a lot of strikeouts, right? Didn't steal bases or whatever it is. Then the argument could be made, well, anybody could have done that. We could have brought anybody to do that. That you could have, you know, we could have had a white face doing that. And that's not what you wanted to do to break the color barrier. You wanted to showcase the skills of the African-American ball players that they could play in the major league level. And so think about, so when you really process the pressure that he was under with the fact that he was Rookie of the Year, right? Like that. It's name me another Rookie of the Year that was had ever dealt with that kind of pressure ever.
Yeah, right. Not only that, but I mean, you know, people actively trying to hurt him. Like, remember he was playing first base, and I love that they showed these type of scenes too, where, you know, people purposely spiked him.
Yeah, right.
You know, would purposely step on his leg, step on his ankle, step on his hands. You know, do all those things to just, I get, maybe try to get an edge. You know, I mean, that was their way of saying, hey, you don't belong. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if I can hurt you good and, you know, hard enough, you know, you'll be out of the league.
Yeah.
Because if you quit at any time, that, remember, that was the whole thing between, you know, he was getting frustrated and Branch Rickey, who the owner of the Dodgers, you just kept saying, it's like, you know, you can't fight back.
You can't.
You need have a guy to that just take back. Everything.
Yeah. And that was hard for Jackie to do.
Oh, my God. It'd be hard for anyone to do. Are you kidding me?
It was hard because he wasn't a passive guy. I mean, he was again, speaking out on civil rights before he did this. And now he was being told to just play and play very well.
But take that same scenario and put it to anybody now. It's just, you know, our athletes are competitors. And they've reached this upper echelon for a reason. It's because they go hard. They go all out. And if anything stands in the way, they're going to fight back and make sure that they obtain what they want to. And, you know, if somebody was constantly, you know, you're constantly getting ridiculed, constantly told this, told that, people are purposely trying to hurt you, and you're told you can't fight back, even in today's game,
sure,
it doesn't matter who that player is, that player is going to have a miserable time. He's going to have a hard time just dealing with that.
Yeah, and think about this too. Like the Cardinals weren't gonna play because Jackie Robinson was on the Dodgers. I mean, you're dealing with that. So now you're dealing with, you know, a lot of fans take the cues from the teams and the players on the teams. So naturally, you know, they had, you know, there's a built-in racism there. But also then when the team is that vocal about it, then you're just taking it's adding fuel to a fire that's already burning within, you know, certain people of your fan base. So there's, you know, that additional to it. But again, he could not have a period of time during the season where he was struggling, right? And there were, you know, sure he struck out. Sure he hit, you know, he hit into a ground ball out with, you know, with two outs with Ron. Sure, he went through that. Of course, right? There's the idea that he went through a whole season and never ran into any, you know, any problems in terms of his performance. You know, that didn't happen. It's a long season. There were moments where, he didn't come through. But he came through enough. He came through enough to win the Rookie of the Year award and was the stolen base leader of the, you know, in the season of 1947. And enough to, you know, to garner those awards and garner that attention. But if he, again, if he had a mediocre season, if he was just an average ball player, maybe even a below average ball player, think about how much more you'd have to do the next year and the year after, and maybe somebody else, you know, had to come up. But Jackie was the right man for the right time. I mean, right man for the right time. And I'm, again, it's as every April 15th, Major League Baseball celebrates it again because of the coronavirus. It's too bad we can't do what we normally do with Jackie Robinson Day. But at least, again, if you go to Major League Baseball, the network, MLB Network, you'll see a lot of Jackie tributes today, including some highlights of their Dodgers win over the Yankees in 1955, which I think is one of the highlights for Brooklynites who were in that time, finally getting one up on the Yankees. Back in the day, when the Yankees were dominating baseball.
I got my Brooklyn Dodgers hat on today.
Yeah,
of course, I wear it every day. But
yes, yes. I was fortunate enough. I was born in Brooklyn. My father grew up in Brooklyn. And so as a young kid, that was, you know, hearing about the Brooklyn Dodgers, the importance of the Brooklyn Dodgers, and, you know, when they left, how devastating that was, and, you know, all of that. A good piece of history for Jackie Robinson Day here on April 15th. Okay, get on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. We'll continue along. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, that's coming up in 15 minutes. Don't want to miss that. We'll also, in hour three, we'll be talking to Adam Richman. He's from Stratomatic. If you've ever played the board game Stratomatic, where they're doing online a baseball season, they're putting the numbers that they would have for the game, they're putting them into a computer. They're simulating baseball games this year, and people are enjoying it. People are going to their website to get the latest news and news from a simulated season for Major League Baseball. It's kind of interesting. We'll talk to him coming up in hour three. It's Wake Up Call at SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, when your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop, so don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge if your battery needs to be replaced. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Michael on Twitter, let's remember, Larry Doby came up just 2 months after Jackie and dealt with the same thing in the American League. That's right, with the Cleveland Indians. And if I'm not mistaken, I'll have to look this up. If I'm not mistaken, I think he won a World Series in 48. So and I think Satchel Paige was on that team. So they were two African-Americans that won World Series almost immediately getting into the majors a year later, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, absolutely. Larry Doby is definitely should be recognized as well in 1947 for being part of the breaking of the color barrier in Major League Baseball. That's a very good point, Michael. Thank you very much. All right, so the college football, there's another report coming out. College football has kind of been in the news the last couple of weeks, at least ideas that have been popping. So if you're college football, and we've been talking about this earlier in the show today. So college football has got to figure out a way to get not only the sport back, but also in a way that makes economic sense. Because as we've been highlighting today with the number of different scenarios for college football, it is different than the NFL. If you don't have classes, you can't have the students report for football. If you don't have fans in the stands, if you don't have the sort of on-field economics, meaning, you know, fans, concessions, parking, all of the things that you would have by having fans show up to the stadiums, if that economics is reduced, what does that mean to the overall athletic budget? One other proposal that's been tossed around, we talked about the possibility of them saying, look, if we can't get it right in the fall, meaning we really don't want to play in front of empty stadiums because economically we really should have people in the stands. Maybe it's better we push it to the spring. But one other proposal is saying, look, if you get half empty stadiums, if you get stadiums where you're only going to let in, let's say, 30,000 people into a 90,000 seat stadium, maybe the expansion of the playoff would be a good idea to help spread some economics. Well, that seems to be taking advantage of the opportunity, right? To say a lot of these athletic directors would love to see an expansion of the playoff because it means a better chance for them to get in. If you're Michigan, if you're a Pac-12 team, if you're anybody else that's fighting for a conference championship and you're just short and you're on the bubble, they would love to see. But expanding the playoff, I would love to know how what kind of dollars would that trickle down to across the board of college football by adding more college football playoff games. You're not adding all that much. And what would that mean? How does that help, let's say, Kentucky football, right? Like Kentucky basketball, that's fine, but Kentucky football, how would it help if Kentucky is not in the, you know, in the running for a playoff? What would that mean? I know that, look, it's a different economic formula. It's a different economic business model than other sports. You're talking about Major League Baseball. It's like, look, can we just get on a field in Arizona somewhere in front of nobody and isolate these guys in hotels and play some games for television and local media markets? That would really help us out. But college athletics are not like that. You know, you've got to spend that money. That's one of the reasons you spend it on new practice facilities and new locker rooms. You spend it on the programs that, you know, the golf team might get a new, you know, practice simulator, right? I mean, there's all sorts of ways to spend the windfall in an athletic department. But they don't hoard it. They don't put it in a vault like Scrooge McDuck. So when rainy days come, and this is not just a rainy day, this is a torrential downpour, there's got to be a way to make some of that money up. Otherwise, you're cutting programs. You're cutting programs and you're telling kids, you can't play here. You know, I'm sorry, but the cross country team is going to be disbanded. Find another cross country program to go run at. And oh, by the way, good luck getting on. And oh, by the way, that might be the same thing we're doing, might be something everybody else is doing too. So cross country might be an extinct sport across Division I, right? And that's too bad. That's too bad. Expanding the playoff, if you go to 16, I'm telling you right now, if you go to 16 as some sort of consolation to help the economically strapped college football world, if that's the case, that genie ain't never going back in the bottle. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Right? Can you imagine saying, look, these are trying circumstances for college athletics. So we've decided to add 16 teams to the postseason. We're going to have, here's how it's going to look, and this is what it's going to be, and you know, and then taking it back to 4 the following year, it's never going to happen. It will never happen. And I'm not a big 16-team playoff college football person. I personally don't want to see it. I might be in the minority on this. I don't want to see it. You want to give me 6? I'm cool. 8, I will go, ugh. I don't want to see college football turn into a regular season that doesn't have value, as much value. I can't say it doesn't have any value. It's not like we're allowing 68 teams into a tournament. But I don't want to see the serious value loss. 16 is a lot of teams. When you talk about, when you look at the top 25 and realize a majority of these teams, it doesn't matter now anymore, right? You can lose 2 times and still get into this thing. I like the urgency of college football regular season. I like sweating it out. I like it when Georgia and Florida are in Jacksonville and the team that wins has a better shot of getting in and the team that loses has got a lot of work to do. I like it when Texas and Oklahoma are fighting out in the Cotton Bowl and the team that loses that game could be in some trouble. I don't want it to be, well, these games are great, but these are the 2 of the top teams in the country, at least 2 of the top 16 teams in the country, so there shouldn't be any issue. I want the regular season to have value. And so, but if there is this pandemic response to saying the revenue is there, the revenue is necessary, we absolutely have got to find a way to bring in more money. And the best way for us to do this, to help other programs, right? Now, there won't be a ton of money. I mean, you got to split all that money up, right? So it's not like you're saving every cross-country team. But if you're doing it in a way that says, look, we've got to keep this economically viable, and the best way to do this is to expand the playoff, you've got 16 teams for the rest of time. And then you watch. It's just a matter. It reminds me of a story when I was a kid. You'd read these little stories like in 4th grade. And I never forget, there was a story about this fisherman. And he goes down to the ocean to catch fish, and he catches this fish, and the fish is a magic fish, and he can talk, and it says, if you let me go, I'll grant you any wish you want. And so he wishes for a little bigger house, and he goes home, and there's a bigger house, but he has this wife, and the wife keeps telling him over and over again to keep going back to the ocean, keep finding that fish, and keep asking for more and more stuff until it just gets ridiculous. She wants to control the weather. She wants to be like God. It just keeps building and building and building until finally the fish just says, you know what? Go back home. I've granted your real wish. And the real wish got back his old life back exactly the way it was. It's similar. It just reminds me of that. You give them 8, they'll want 16. And if you give them 16, they'll want 20 and with a few bye weeks. They'll want 32. They'll want, I mean, No one is ever happy because you reach a point where, you know, my plane is always on Selection Sunday. I don't want to hear it if you didn't get into the NCAA tournament. And yet we always find people who complain and complain and complain when a 19-11 program doesn't get in. We're going to do the same for college football, where eventually we'll take an 8-4 mediocre team and go, it's an outrage that they're not in the postseason.
Wake up call. Continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Wednesday midweek. We're at hump day, so let's get the good of the day.
You're really going to like this one.
All right, I hope.
I don't know if you've heard of this. I just heard about it yesterday. That's why I'm sharing it with you today. Have you heard of the hashtag All In Challenge?
No.
This is going to be huge. I can tell you that it's going to be huge. I got to find out the guy, the man who is putting this all together. Michael Rubin. That's who we got to give credit for. He had a brilliant idea. He's a part owner of the Sixers.
Yep. Okay.
And he had a brilliant idea. He said, you know, let's auction off some outrageous things. To raise money for, you know, hunger, food, you know, people suffering from the coronavirus.
Yeah, okay.
In these troubling times, right? This thing has exploded, Tony.
So when you say weird things, what are we
talking about? No, not weird. Amazing.
Amazing things.
Amazing.
Okay, so when you say
once-in-a-lifetime opportunities.
Okay, these are pretty cool. All right, what are we doing?
Okay, well, here, I'm going to play a little snippet of one such person who's going to be auctioning something off.
Hi, Peyton Manning here. I also accept the All-In Challenge. I'm glad to help families in need that need our help during this time. A lot of families are hurting out there that need our help, need our prayers, and I'm proud to accept this All-In Challenge to help those families in need. I am coming to your hometown to play golf with you and two of your friends. The four of us are going to play. We're going to have a lot of fun.
So Peyton Manning is going to play golf with you.
Yes. It's you and three of your buddies, and he's going to play 18 holes of golf.
18 holes? That's awesome.
Afterwards, he's going to have dinner. They're going to go to a local restaurant, support that local restaurant. You can invite 10 of your friends.
Wow.
And so you're going to have dinner with them and just, you know, I just have dinner with Peyton.
All right.
And then afterwards, he nominated three people. So okay. He nominated his brother Eli to see what Eli can come up with. He nominated his bandmate Brad Paisley.
Oh, very good.
To see what Brad Paisley is going to do. And then he nominated, the coach of Tennessee. It's skipping my mind right now. I know you know it.
Tennessee Volunteers?
Yes.
Jeremy Pruitt.
Jeremy Pruitt. And yep. He nominated Jeremy Pruitt. During that, I asked you to go to the All In Challenge website. I'm asking anybody.
Yes. I put an All In Challenge in Google and it came up All In Campus Democracy Challenge.
No.
So I gotta.
Yeah. Maybe you do hashtag. It's powered by Fanatics. All In Challenge. Basically, here's some of the things. Kevin Hart stepped up. If you can enter to win for Kevin Hart, I guess you can buy like 10 tickets for $10. 25
right.
Tickets for $25. If you want to bid on, or if you want to join Kevin Hart's challenge, he's going to give you a speaking role in his next movie.
No kidding.
Let's see another one. Mark Cuban. If you want to bid, if you want to buy his raffle ticket, basically, Mark Cuban will give you a 1-day contract to play with the Mavs.
Now this is great.
You can throw out the first pitch at the next World Series. I think that's done. Justin Bieber will come to your house and serenade you guys.
How great is this?
I don't know about that one. You can play horse and sit courtside at a Lakers game with Magic Johnson. The opening bid for that, by the way, is $50,000.
Oh wow, that's fantastic!
And their goal, their plan is to raise hundreds of millions of dollars. I think they're going to do this easily.
So I'm looking at some of these now, right? You can skate and play with the 94 Stanley Cup, the Rangers. That, I'm telling you, that opening bid is $10,000. That's going to be six figures easily.
Yep.
That is one of the most cherished teams in New York sports, that 94 Rangers Stanley Cup team. That is the famous "Now I Can Die in Peace," because they hadn't won. They won 1940 was the last Stanley Cup, and there was all the "Now I Can Die in Peace" signs. There's a lot of wealthy people in New York City that would love to skate with the 94 Rangers. That's a big deal. That is great. Let's see. These are amazing. I mean, these are absolutely amazing.
Right?
Travel with the 49ers for any away game.
How much fun is that going to be?
That is going to be fantastic. Double date with Russell and Ciara Wilson. I don't know if that would be fun.
Well, but there's another one.
But at least that's awesome.
There's another one where you can double date with Zach and Julie Ertz.
That's better.
And you'll go to a Sixers game with them.
That's right.
I'll do that.
I like this one. Sit in the draft war room with Allen Houston and the Knicks.
Yeah.
If I'm Michael Rapoport, I pay whatever amount of money I possibly can to get that. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I follow that. If I'm Michael Rapoport, who is the actor that is known for just absolutely his ripping tirades on the Knicks and James Dolan, I buy that no matter what the cost. I call my agent and I say, liquidate every single royalty that I have coming to me.
Is it Michael Rapoport or does Spike Lee do it?
Spike Lee could do it too. Spike Lee could do it too. I just like Rapoport's just profanity-laced rants on social media whenever the Knicks do something dumb.
Or maybe Charles Oakley comes in.
Charles Oakley. And I would bring Oakley, too. I would say, and my guest is going to be Charles Oakley.
I don't know about this one. A batting lesson from A-Rod, and you get to take home his World Series trophy. The opening bid for that is $50,000. You know, I mean, because does that come with a certain thing? Like, hey, here's how I prep for hitting.
Yeah, right. You know?
Just come into, just stand behind this curtain. You might have to drop your pants around your ankles.
This is great. This is spend a day with Gail King. All right. Can you do something though? I don't want to just spend a day with somebody.
No, I mean, some of them are,
I want you to say we're going to be doing this.
Yeah. Like at this point, Mark, if you're giving something away, Meek Mill is giving his 2018 Rolls Royce Phantom.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, the opening bid is $200,000. Yeah. So I don't, how much is that car? My Lord.
That's got to be a $700,000 car.
Is it? I have
Rolls
no idea.
Royce? For him? That's probably, I don't know. Maybe it's got to be tricked out. And
what
all
about this
stuff.
One? Jeff Lurie, his design call play at a Philadelphia Eagles preseason game.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's really good. I'm looking at this golf and dinner with Peyton Manning in your hometown. That's a cool thing. I would love to play golf with Peyton Manning, except I got to be honest with you. I don't have the kind of courses that Peyton might be used to. Like my local public course is nice, but it ain't Peyton Manning nice.
Right.
Like I would want Peyton Manning will help you get on an elite private golf club, you know, but still it's expensive. So you're probably a member at a club anyway. You know, that you're doing it. This is great. This is really,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Great. I love it. I love it.
There's a bunch on here. I have no idea. Like one of them is the ultimate Gary V experience. I don't even know who Gary V is. Should I know who he is?
I think he's a social media business genius.
Well, that's another one. Like shop and make TikToks with Charlie and Dixie.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I mean, they're cute.
Yeah, that's right.
But I couldn't bid on that.
Eli Manning is giving away his Corvette. From the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl in 2012. That's pretty good. Excellent work. Whoever, again, Mark Rubin, you said?
Mark
was the
Rubin,
guy?
Yeah.
Very
part,
well
he was
done.
Part owner of the Sixers. And this thing's only going to get better because one of the things they said that with the people who have been challenged for it, you still have names. And you know everyone's going to come out and do it, but names like The Rock, LeBron, Steve Harvey, Chris Rock, Jimmy Kimmel, they've all been challenged. They've all been nominated to step up.
Yep.
So I don't know when this will actually take place.
That's great.
Like when the final deadline for this is. But yeah, I have to believe that this might actually do it, like raise hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, this is going to be great. This is going to be really cool. All right, then what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, there's really no transition for this. I brought you guys up so high.
I know, this is wonderful.
This is fantastic.
Eating this alive.
We could spend a whole segment on that. Well, it's funny that you say eating this alive. There's a German zoo that warns it may have to feed some of its animals to the other animals.
Okay, I don't like that story. Okay, we're raising hundreds of millions of dollars through this all in. They can't in Germany raise money to feed animals at a zoo?
Well, it's not
lack
of
food?
I guess it's like a private zoo.
Oh, I got you.
I'm thinking like a Carol Baskins type of zoo.
Okay.
one of those type of zoos that has, or Joe Exotic Zoo, that doesn't have funding, you know, doesn't qualify for any of the special funding that the government is providing.
Gotcha.
So they've created a list of animals. I haven't seen the list of animals just yet, of animals that are low on the pecking order that would be fed to other animals.
Oh, no. So where does, like, I don't know, a giraffe lie?
Yeah, that, you know, feeding large animals is expensive.
It is. You
know, pointing out that penguins and seals need large quantities of fish every day. And so some of these animals may have to be euthanized rather than let them starve.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, there's a story I was reading that, like, SeaWorlds, the SeaWorld parks in San Antonio, San Diego,
yeah,
and Portland, they might have to close for good.
Yeah.
For good.
Yep. PETA's winning.
They don't have any
now
food.
Now we know who started coronavirus. It's PETA.
Yeah, they don't have any money. There's no money coming in, and the feed a killer whale is just astronomical on a daily basis.
Yep.
Well, that is, somebody better step in and
save the zoo.
Help this zoo out. Even
Where's
if
Matt
it's private.
Damon? Matt Damon bought a zoo once.
Feeding animals to other animals. Yeah, that's right. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's the one lesson from Tiger King that I took out. Is as cute and cuddly as little baby tigers are, you don't really want to own a tiger.
No, you know, they're like
it's
kids.
A fortune. I mean, a fortune in food, and you can't. You know, and you know, maybe you can get the old decayed meat from the grocery store, but that's
maybe
a daily thing you got to do.
You know,
to keep these beasts fed.
Put it to you this way, right? I mean, a perfect scenario. I have a 3-year-old in my house. I have a 12-year-old in my house, right? The 3-year-old, you know, he'll have a snack. Maybe it's like a couple of crackers, you know, maybe like a little small bowl of goldfish. The 12-year-old just eating us, eating everything in sight.
Yeah, exactly. Wait till he turns 18. Like,
I know.
I have.
I'm already scared.
He's a machine. He can't stop. Right? He's just, you know.
And he just comes in and he's like, opens the fridge and he's like, well, I'll eat these grapes. He's like, we just bought these grapes. How come they're all gone? You know, it's like, well, I just bought apples and, you know, we're already needing to buy more apples. I'm like, God, I can't keep up with you.
Yeah, and it stinks because my son has a metabolism like a furnace.
Yes, so just, that's the other
he's
bad thing.
Tall and thin, and I'm fat, and like everything I eat stays with me. And he's just like, I'm just still hungry. I just,
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this, 4,000 calories? What are you doing to me?
Can you imagine, like, if we ate as much as they did, you know, I would need a wheelchair.
I know, me too.
I would need a walker to get around. I would need a lot of special things.
I'd be making an appointment for Dr. Now in Houston.
Yeah, I would need a freight elevator in our building.
Exactly, right. All right, so what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, real quickly, is apparently the Since we're in quarantine, there's little nuggets of NBA stuff maybe you didn't know coming out each day.
Yep.
And I found this one kind of fun. Was that the Phoenix Suns did not draft Kawhi Leonard because he sweated too much in his draft combine interview.
That's great.
So instead, I had to look it up. I was like, I don't know who the Phoenix Suns drafted. They drafted two spots before the Spurs, that
Good
draft,
Lord.
By the way. And they drafted Markieff Morris, who is no longer on the team.
No longer on the team.
Yeah.
One.
Good move.
I like those kind of stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just shows the brilliance of picking draft picks.
Because he sweated too much?
I mean, too much. Couldn't take it.
You couldn't just lie and come up with a better answer?
Come up with a better answer than that. Exactly. Come up with something better than that.
I think the problem was is that they probably gave that answer on draft night, and it just stuck.
It just stuck, yeah.
You know, people were like, well, let's keep this one in the back burner just in
case.
That's right.
All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Wednesday. It's SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call SB Nation Radio, and this hour is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So I read somewhere, this was bothering me. I read somewhere that Major League Eating is going to have quarantine eating contests. And I was really upset because they're going to have Joey Chestnut and Matt Stoney and a couple of others, being in locations, and there's going to be they're going to eat like Oreos, and they're going to eat, you know, all these different kind of foods. There's going to be like a different levels. Like there's like four different eating competitions that they're going to be going through, and I think one is going to be eliminated until there's a champion left, right? And this bothers me because I remember years and years ago when I interviewed George Shea of the Major League Eating, and my co-host asked him for advice for a wing eating competition that we were doing, him and I were doing against another radio show in our building. And he said, oh, no, no. He goes, you know, we take this very seriously. He goes, I can't offer you advice. I mean, ours are sanctioned. There are medics on site. There's people to make sure that you know, that the health and safety of our eaters is paramount, you know, so we can't really comment or endorse any other, you know, eating contests outside of our own. And I was impressed by that, right? I was, like, really impressed. I was like,
it gives legitimately makes it a sport.
Yeah, like you forget, like you could choke if you jam hot dogs into your mouth at a rapid rate, right? So you make sure there's medics on site, ambulances to make sure that they take care of the eaters who are literally stuffing their face with food. Now, unless there is medics on site in each one of these quarantine locations, I can't endorse this. Like, I can't be behind this.
You know why else you can't endorse it? It's kind of wasteful eating.
Yeah, right.
During a pandemic, there's people who are starving.
There are shelves that are empty in our country.
Where are you getting all these Oreos from?
I may not be able to get Oreos where I live, and you're going to be jamming it into your face?
Yeah, why don't you just eat toilet paper instead?
I don't think. Yeah, exactly. Why don't you rub it in that you'll use toilet paper to wipe your face after you stuff your face with Oreos? Major League Eating. Explain yourself. It's a wake-up call at ESPN Radio.